morning my lesson is entitled Privileged. In our society, we have those who consider themselves to be privileged, and by most standards they are, except for one, the Bible. Most of the time they are rich, and most of the time they work in Hollywood or Washington, D.C. These people all have privileges that this world has. These people have all the privileges that this world has to offer. They vacation in expensive places, they drive expensive cars, they fly all over the world in their private airplanes. They eat at expensive restaurants, and they do things that we're not going to mention this morning. They do things that we might wish we could do, but after this lesson, I hope you'll change your mind. Last week's lesson was on remembering who we are. This week, we're going to look at a few examples in the Old Testament of those who were privileged, and then look at some privileges that we have as Christians. We'll start this morning by defining the word privileged. There are three definitions for privileged. They are, one, enjoying special advantages, enjoying privileges, especially the resources and advantages associated with the upper class or the rich, which we just talked about. Number two, honored or fortunate. Fortunate in having a special advantage or opportunity to do something, such as I feel privileged to be here today. And third, available only to a select group, restricted to a particular group of people. And that was found in the World English Dictionary on my computer. We look at the first definition at the opening of this lesson. And now we're going to look at the second definition, honored or fortunate. Fortunate in having a special advantage or opportunity to do something. Let's open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of the people was, that man... Let me try that again. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Also turn to verse 22 of the same chapter. God instructed Noah how to build the ark in the verses before. And in verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Chapter 7, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your household, behold, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Also turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7, to finish the thought. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Would you consider Noah and his family privileged? They were the only 8 humans left on earth after the flood. I consider them privileged. Let's look at another example. In Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 16. Genesis 18 and verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he had spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down there and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous would be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare that place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I am but dust and ashes have... Indeed, I, who am dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there be 5 less than 50 righteous, would you destroy it in the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Then he spoke yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And he said, I will not if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And he said, let not the Lord be angered, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went away as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now in chapter 19, starting at verse 12, then the man said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up and get out of his place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-laws he seemed to be joking. And when the morning had dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise and take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, he said, escape for your life, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain, escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Now in verse 24, then the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and from the Lord out of the heavens, and he overthrew those cities, all the plains, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Would you consider Lot to be privileged in these verses? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 8. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 8. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold and commanded everyone to bow down before it. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. And they spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, if I'm pronouncing that right, and symphony of all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship your gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to him, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I ask the question again, do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were privileged? Now you can't look at the book of Daniel without looking at Daniel. So let's look at chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Darius is in charge now. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one. And the satraps might give account to them so that the king would not suffer loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said, thus to the king, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and the satraps and the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign in writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or any man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is the one of the captives of Judea, does not show due regard for you, O king, for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Now, O king, that is the law of the Medes of the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave command, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his place and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he had come to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice, to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions so that they would not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him, and he commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on his body, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all the bones in all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Would you consider Daniel privileged? Here are some more examples of people who were privileged. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. You see, God talked to the prophet. God talked to the prophets. Well, that was a privilege, wasn't it? Now we'll look at the third definition. And that is available only to a select group, restricted to a particular group of people. This is where last week's lesson comes into play. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This verse has privilege stamped all over it. However, we want to look at the privileges of being His own special people. First, becoming His own special people. Let's see what Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16. A verse that we probably all know. Mark 16 and verse 16. Jesus speaking here. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Believing and being baptized is being obedient to the will of God. Being obedient to God has privileges. Baptism itself gains a person freedom from past sins. Look at Acts 22 and verse 16. Acts 22 and verse 16. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Another privilege we have is the ability to talk to God through prayer. Not everyone has that ability. Turn to John 9. John chapter 9 and verse 31. John 9 and verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if everyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. Therefore, don't hesitate to talk to God. Let's look at Romans 12 and verse 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We have another privilege as being obedient children of God, and that's eternal life. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. We have great privileges when we are doing God's will. We may not have great privileges on this earth by way of riches, but all that doesn't matter. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. In closing this morning, we looked at Old Testament examples of the privileged. What was the common denominator in all cases? Noah walked with God, Genesis 6 and verse 9. Lot was saved because of his righteousness towards God, Genesis 18:23 and Genesis 19:16 through 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved because of their faith in God's power to deliver. Daniel 3 and verse 17. And Daniel was saved from the lions because he believed in his God. Daniel 6 and verse 23. They trusted God and they obeyed God. I want us to read three more verses. If you would, turn back to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 25. This is after they pulled Daniel out of the lion's den. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." The very same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Lot from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, is the very same God that can deliver you from hell if you trust him and if you obey him. That's the lesson this morning. If there's anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel and wishes to do that this morning, we encourage you to come forward.